This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 118. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out right now at Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonmoney.com. Right now, Amanda. Like right now, go to Facebook at
Rock on Money.
Yeah, right
get
now.
Get on over there.
Yeah, we ain't got time. Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, not too much here. Just, living the dream.
Well, you're in Florida.
Yeah.
And I looked up, well, actually we're recording this a little early, but my trees are budding like crazy.
Yeah, I know. My eyes are itching. I'm sneezing like crazy. My nose is stuffed up.
Yeah, it's starting to have me. I got to run to Walmart today because the allergy medicine will be gone if I don't hurry up and get some more. Yeah. I just want to make sure I have enough to get me to like July and I'll be good. Then I'll have to wait in August and...
I buy a year's supply worth at Costco once a year. So,
yeah, actually, I probably should do that. I should go there today. There's only one kind that works for me. So I need to go get that. Zyrtec is the only one that works for me.
Yeah, that's what I use too. But it is kind of a trial and error because everyone's a little different to see what'll work and not everyone responds the same to every type.
Hey, what are we doing this podcast?
We have six questions from our wonderful social media group.
I am so shocked that that's what we're doing today. All right, here's an easy one.
Okay.
But it's a common question. I'm thinking about putting some money into Vanguard or Fidelity. Is this a good time to do it with our market so high?
Yes. It's always a good time to
put
money in.
It's always a good time.
Also, I might dispute the fact that someone is claiming the market is so high. Yeah. I guess it depends where you're putting your money.
It's always going to be high. Mm-hmm. Well, not always, but... we're always going to hit new highs all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to always go down. Stocks always go up over time. So I know what they're saying. They're like, oh my God, we're like the Dow hit a record like a week ago and stuff like that. It's like, it doesn't matter.
I mean, here's what happens. I tend to put money in and then invest it. And then like the very next day or the next month, whatever I invested, it goes down and I kick myself. But then, you wait another month or so and it's up. So, don't try and time the market because you're going to lose.
And nobody knows. Nobody.
Yeah, you don't know. So just get your money in. It's a long-term bet anyway. So if it goes down right away, I mean, that's fine.
It is what it is.
Because the number of shares you have isn't going to change.
Nah. It's the price you bought it at. And over time, long-term, it will go up. It'll be fine.
Yes. And I love the fact that they're considering Vanguard or Fidelity. Those are two of the three low-cost providers that we like.
Yeah,
the other one, of course, being Schwab.
Yep. We love all three of them. So I'm glad they're saying that. Vanguard.
Yeah, and we don't get any kickbacks from any of them.
Good point. Yeah, we have zero sponsors. Not influenced by money.
Yeah. The only sponsors we have are Craig and myself. So, of course.
Yes. Question number two. It's a nice time we can push our little book list. Hey, do you have any book recommendations or suggestions for financial freedom literacy?
So that's question two.
Question two.
We do. We actually have a books section on our website, rockonthemoney.com, where we have a list of our recommended books. Craig, I should put it on my to-do list this week to do a refresh of that list because
that's a good idea because times
I mean
are
those
changing.
Books are classics and they're never going to be things that we don't recommend, but we can certainly look to see if there's anything that we might add to that list.
Hey, and you know what, another thing you mentioned, we should have our own list. Like you have yours, I have mine.
Yes. So we might just do that, split it up to Craig's picks and Amanda's picks, but I'm a fan. So obviously the number one starter book is Dave Ramsey's The Total Money Makeover. So that is where you start, right? You get your inspiration, you get your foundation in play with that book. And then from there, you can expand. Chris Hogan has a great book called The Everyday Millionaire. That's a great one to pick up once you have all your debt paid off and you're on your road to financial freedom and wealth building. The Millionaire Next Door, that's one that I love. Because
I love that book.
Yes, yes. So, you know, it has a lot of data and statistics from real scientific research about what your typical millionaire looks like. And you may be surprised to find that, you know, they're driving, like we mentioned on one of the last couple episodes, they tend to drive inexpensive cars. You know, they tend to live in inexpensive homes. They're not the ones driving the Lamborghinis usually. A lot of those people, well, unless they're like superstars, you know, like Oprah.
Right. Yeah, of course. Are just average people. And then what careers are millionaires? Like a waitress is a millionaire.
School teachers.
School teachers.
Yeah. So this millionaire status is based off of net worth. So those are people who prioritize saving money versus spending on today.
And as we talked about, like you said, about cars, like they point out in that book, you drive down the street, you see a house with a Honda and one with a Mercedes. Typically the one with the Honda is one with the millionaire, not the one with the Mercedes, based on data.
I love Susie Orman's books. So she has a great one called The 9 Steps to Financial Freedom. That's a good starter book as well.
Yep. So typically people that make to the millionaire level, typically, unless you got from a lottery, they stay that way and they keep growing.
Funny you mentioned the lottery. Most lottery winners end up broke again within a short period of time.
Is that not crazy?
Because they don't have the tools in place already.
That's true.
The, you know, financial management muscles in place to manage that money.
Or they get a financial advisor or something like that that gives them bad advice in it, or your friends. Yeah, everybody comes out of the woodwork when you win.
Yeah, and it feels like a lot of money because you've never seen that amount of money before, but it goes quickly if you aren't managing it well.
If you have $1 million in the bank, Amanda, you could blow that pretty quick and not even realize it.
Yeah.
And that happens with a lot of sports figures, but anyway.
It does, yeah.
It's crazy, the stories out there. What was that TV show on CNBC with...
Alex Rodriguez.
Oh my God. That, if you want to watch one show that is about people that had it everything and lost it because of by buying expensive vehicles, that's the one.
Yeah, it's called Back in the Game.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still doing that, but I heard he just broke up with
J-Lo.
Question number three.
Okay.
If someone with no knowledge of investing approached you and asked you for a surefire way to help make money grow, what would you tell them? There are many things to invest in, but what are the dependable ones?
Well, I'll let you start because we always recommend the same things.
Yeah, easily. What we coach is a simple S&P 500 fund. And what the S&P 500 fund is, the 500 best and largest companies in America by market cap, which means what their value is. And so that is your best, most dependable way to make money long-term is by betting on America's best companies, which includes Microsoft, Tesla. Tesla's now in there. Apple, all these companies. These are great companies, Procter & Gamble. Everything in your house is probably in that S&P 500 fund. And typically, over time, you get 8 to 10% per year. That is probably the most dependable, reliable way to invest money. And that's why we coach it. It has a 70% chance of growing over any other mutual fund out there. 70% of the funds out there, Amanda, cannot beat the S&P 500 index.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that I like to use to balance my portfolio is real estate. And but the reason we like the S&P 500 fund is because it's very dependable. You know, it's inexpensive to get into, so you don't have to have a huge savings account in order to start investing in it. You can get in today and, you know, start making money right away.
Yeah.
Real estate takes a lot more money to start up. But, you know, there's only so much land available, right? So over time, the value of real estate generally goes up as well.
Right.
The only reason I'm so hesitant on that one is because obviously 2008 still feels very fresh yes. for a lot of people who were in real estate, right? So that was an anomaly, but it's not to say it can't happen again, especially right now. It feels like real estate prices are just skyrocketing without a whole lot of rationale for that.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not just the purchase price. Remember, there are so many costs that go along with owning real estate.
Oh, let me tell you. Roof, HVAC, I mean, all kinds of crazy things. It's a lot of things that people don't think about. They just say, I got to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to consider everything. Hey, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with three more great questions.
Yeah. So you notice the one thing we didn't mention to invest in are cars.
No, that is not an investment. However, I've seen Jay Leno. He makes a ton of money on cars. But that's a whole different level, though. We're talking about people, when you buy a car at the dealership, that's not an investment. Mm-hmm. When you drive off the lot, how much money do you lose right off the bat?
What is it, like 30%?
Yeah, and then the first 2-3 years, you lose 40 to 60% of its value on average. That's insane. That's why we have you buy 2-3-year-old cars.
Yep.
It's the same information every week, Amanda.
You
started to hear Groundhog Day.
Well, that's good news that we don't constantly flip-flop on our opinion.
No, we don't. We stay because it's basic financial literacy. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with three more. You're listening to Rock on Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
To Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Website is rockonthemoney.com with our book list, rockonthemoney.com/books, or click on the books link in the menu. And we'll get that updated for everybody.
Yes. I'm writing it down right now on my to-do list.
If you send me books, then I know I have to do mine. So.
Okay.
All right. Question number 4. This sounds like the other one. Almost. Yeah. Fidelity or Vanguard for a Roth IRA invested in the S&P 500? Vanguard or Fidelity?
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't.
I'm not personally familiar with Vanguard. I have Fidelity for my 401k, and I've used them before for a Roth IRA. Their website's fine. It's friendly. The personnel that you call to talk to for assistance, they're super friendly.
Yeah.
I'm personally with Charles Schwab for most of my investments, so I love them. But again, it's not really going to matter. It's a personal preference.
Yeah. And Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, all very low-cost providers. And you're doing the S&P 500 index. The cost difference is either free or 0.04%. Basically, there's no cost to these funds.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter. But I would stick with those three companies because if you use them for other products, they will be low cost. Don't go off to another company. Stay with these three. Once again,
which ones do you use?
I have Schwab.
Yeah.
But my 457 is with T. Rowe Price, which I would not use my personal investing personally, even though it's a local company here in Maryland. I would not do it.
So that's a good point. So, you know, we always recommend these three low-cost providers. But if you're in a 401k, you don't really get a choice on who's being used to manage your 401k. Yeah. Your employer picks that. So it's perfectly fine to have your 401k or 457, like in your case, with one provider, and then put your Roth IRA with someone else. So I just want to make that clear that you don't have to have all of your accounts with the same provider.
Right. I just don't have my IRA with T. Rowe Price. I have it with Schwab, and I'll have a 401k with Empower, which is a very popular one across the United States with a lot of employers as well.
Yeah, they used to be known as, or part of them used to be known as Great West, right?
That's right. That's right. I've only been there a couple of years because of one of the jobs I have. So,
yeah.
How about you read number five?
Sure. Especially since your voice seems to be
having
trouble.
It's a very long question.
Hey guys, I'm in a unique situation where I don't have or need a car. I don't pay rent. I have no debt. My only fixed bills are a cell phone, $30 a month, and YouTube, $12 per month.
I love how they bring up YouTube.
I love, well, so they're considering everything. Those are their only two bills.
Cell phones and YouTube. I love it.
So $42 a month in expenses.
Wow.
And I make close to six figures after taxes.
So they have no food, electric, anything.
Well, so I think that's part of the next part of the question.
Oh,
so
okay.
It continues to say, I want to start saving money to invest, but I'm kind of at a loss on how much I should be spending on groceries, entertainment, hygiene, etc. And without a defined budget, I find myself spending large on restaurants and other activities. Any advice or resources on what a realistic budget should look like in my situation? So you notice how this individual identified two costs. The fixed, what they're calling only fixed bills are cell phone and YouTube. And right. I don't think that's a true statement. No. So those are, I guess, the fixed bills, but they have regular monthly expenses and bills that should be in a budget as a line item in order just to live, right? So groceries, entertainment, hygiene, like they've mentioned. I always include a line item budget for just miscellaneous, or what I call, you know, blow money. You can blow it on anything without any guilt or anything like that. So since you have no car, you have no auto insurance, you have no gasoline costs, you have no utility expenses. So that's all great. I'm like, where are you living?
Exactly.
Sounds like a sweet deal. But also, I suspect that this is not a permanent living situation. So, yeah, I would be, you know, making sure that you have a budget that's going to accommodate living on your own at some point. So, yeah, the first thing you do is sit down, identify each of these categories, and you have a start on those. So fill out those categories. Craig, you have a great budget template, right?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah. So what are some of the categories on those budget templates?
We have charitable gifts, saving, housing, utilities, food, transportation, clothing, medical, insurance, personnel, recreation, and debts.
Yeah. So even though you don't have a car, I suspect you have some transportation costs to get you from point A to point B at least once in a while. So Uber, Lyft, whatever you're doing to get yourself around, whether it's, you know, what do you have there in D.C., Craig? The train?
Oh, we have Metro. We have buses.
Metro.
We have carpooling. We have a lot of bus services that stop at the park and rides and stuff like that. There's so many options here for transportation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I would also add to your category travel, because I like to travel a lot. And if you have disposable income, that's often a line. We will start traveling again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
So in this particular case, I would be putting the vast majority of the money away into savings and investing. So savings for, future expenses. I suspect this person's living with mom and or dad, and that they're going to want you out at some point, you know, baby bird, get out of the nest, right?
Yep. Exactly.
So make sure you save up enough for first, last, and security deposit on a new place, and start looking around to see what those costs are. Rental prices are really high right now. So I would start making sure that you have in your budget a line item for housing costs. And for the moment, call it housing costs, but put it into a savings account. Mm-hmm. So that you have that available to you. And then you also will have your emergency fund for your housing costs once you start living on your own. And in terms of groceries, as a single individual, that cost should be pretty moderate, and your groceries should be more than your entertainment budget.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be spending the majority of your income on entertainment. That's just my personal opinion. If that's your priority, then, you know, you're going to probably be struggling to adjust to adult living once you move out onto your own.
Many people do spend too much money on entertainment. And you know who the big culprit is these days?
It's all these subscriptions. I would say the food deliveries.
Okay, that's a good point, because a lot of people have gotten hooked on that, and that's expensive. That, along with all these subscription services. Now, yeah. Discovery Plus and Disney Plus. I want cable back.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd say that?
Well, now cable is where you're paying for every channel separately as a subscription.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, Discovery has made it worse, because now you can't watch these shows unless you pay them.
Mm-hmm.
There's your rehab houses and all that. Here's something interesting on the budget thing. The two highest expenses they have as far as percentages.
Housing
is up as high as 35%, no higher. We coach 25. And insurance is 10 to 25%. Which can be medical, house, car. That gets expensive if you think about it. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
You just don't.
So that's my advice: is start putting together a real adult living budget, and then every line item: housing, car, insurance, utilities, you know, cable, electric, water, trash pickup. Put it all together into a budget, and then that way you're prepared. And all the dollars that are associated with that now, stick it into a savings account. And then in terms of investing, that should also be a percentage of your budget. Since you have no debt, then 15% of your income should be going towards retirement investing.
Which leads us to question number 6. Can you read this one?
Sure. I have probably a pretty dumb question, but I wanted to get some other perspectives. The last several years, we have been putting $1,400 a month into a savings account at our bank. Mm. The main purpose of the funds are to be used every 4 or 5 years to purchase a new vehicle. My question is whether it would be better to invest this money into a mutual fund or something instead of putting it in savings account which basically earns pennies.
Hold on a second. There's a lot going on in this paragraph.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up my calculator here, because I want to see something here real quick. $1,400 a month, Amanda.
Yes.
And every 5 years times, I mean, that's 60 months, right?
Yes.
60 months. That's $84,000.
Yes.
That's what are we,
like, 4 vehicles.
What are we buying? A brand new SUV Tesla every 5 years? Number one. I don't know what, that's a lot of money for vehicles.
That's a lot of money.
So number two, why are we replacing these vehicles every 4 or 5 years?
Right.
There's a lot going on here. You want to take a stab at this? Yeah, so
that's the first thing is replacing vehicles every 4 to 5 years seems silly to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Most vehicles last much longer than that nowadays. I think we've been trained on the 4 to 5 years because that's, in the past at least, that was the typical loan life. And so people got used to making a car payment every month. And then when that car payment was over, they're like, oh, you know what? I'm used to making a car payment, so I can just upgrade to a new car and keep the same payment schedule, right?
I'm guilty of that. In my younger years, I did the same thing.
Of course, because you think, well, great, now I've earned myself a new vehicle.
I got extra money. Let me go buy another one.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but that doesn't have to be the way that you live.
No.
I love the fact that you're saving to pay cash for vehicles, number one. So you're already out of the cycle Well, sort of. You're out of the cycle of making monthly payments. Now you're just paying yourself each month for your car instead. So, but $1,400 a month far exceeds any car payment you should have, even for a two-vehicle household. That would far exceed what I would expect to pay for a vehicle. Again, $84,000 every 5 years. Just think what that money could be making you in your retirement investing.
So doing some quick math,
yes.
I'm not trying to force them into a $25,000 vehicle. $200 a month into a bank account will get you a $25,000 vehicle with cash in 10 years. So 10 years. That relieves you $1,200 a month to invest.
Right.
That's insane.
Which more than fully funds your Roth IRA for the year.
And if you have a 401k on top of that, I mean, you're like setting yourself up for multimillionaire if you do it that way. I mean, you do you, but this 4 to 5 year thing is just insane.
That part is insane. And then, so to address the second part of the question, whether or not it's better to invest in a mutual fund or something else instead of putting in a savings account, I am personally of the opinion that mutual funds aren't worth it.
Yeah.
There are costs associated with them, and they generally don't earn more than the online high-yield savings accounts. So I agree that they're better than the brick-and-mortar savings accounts that are just pennies on a dollar. But if you use a high-yield online savings account like Ally or Marcus by Goldman Sachs, where you're getting, you know, multiples of what the brick and mortar have for interest payments, then you are making, you know, maybe a couple $100s a year on that money.
And that car money they need in less than 10 years, which
right.
If the market crashed and takes 10 years to recover, you may not have that money.
Right. So yeah. So that's exactly why we wouldn't be putting it into the stock market instead of these safer options.
You and I, Amanda, have been talking about this briefly about, we are so used to now making 20 to 50%. This is not normal.
Yeah.
We are getting pampered with earnings right now. The normal is some years you make nothing. Some years you make 12. The average is 8 to 10. So everybody's seen everybody make money. They think, oh, I'll just do this. This is not normal, people. This is not normal. And I'm not going to say it's the new normal, because at some point this is going to level out. I believe. The only data I have is the last 100 years. That's all I got.
Yeah.
I tend to think
that this year might be a leveling year.
Yeah.
To kind of reset from the craziness of last year.
There's some craziness going on, but
yeah,
I'm not going to get sucked into the Bitcoin thing. I know it's skyrocketing. I still am not going to do that. I'm going to stick with what works. I'm patient. Yeah. I'll be good.
Yeah. I actually don't think it was a dumb question. That was a great question and gave us a lot of meat to talk about there. So if I were you, I would stop putting $1,400 a month in savings for a car if that's the only purpose of your savings. If you're saving for other purposes, you know, then let's talk. But a vehicle, that's absurd.
Yeah, I think absurd is a little bit better than insane. We didn't mean to call you insane.
Yeah, no, you're sane. I think you're absurd. Much too conservative.
Yeah. And 4 to 5 years. Yeah. Get out of that cycle. Yeah. That cycle. I did. And I can't believe how much more money I have because I'm out of that cycle.
It's insane.
It's crazy. Yeah. Don't live with your cars. All right. Well, that was great, Amanda. Don't forget to email us your questions to podcast@rocklandusa.com and check us out on Facebook at rocklandmoney.com.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.